In the studio with us now, Movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic. His website is aisleseat.com. He's a staff writer for Ranker. He's still a member of the Critics' Choice Association, which is the new name for that organization, right?
Right. It used to be called the Broadcast Film Critics Association, but we're merging with the Television Journalists Association, and now we'll be called the Critics' Choice Association.
Well, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal, yes.
And congratulations for sticking with them as they grow. You're still with them. And you're a go-to guy for a lot of their questions and answers and columns and articles you write.
It's a very exciting merger that we're having here because we do have film critics and television journalists from all around the country, not just the major areas, but smaller markets like this. And we're the people who watch all the TV shows or see all the movies. And so we're consolidating, and I'm very excited about it.
And awards.
And we give out the Critics' Choice Awards every January, so that'll be coming up in a few months.
And those are respected awards. Not that the Oscars aren't. Oscars have a politicalization to them. And the People's Choice Awards, if they're really still such an entity, what people like often isn't reviewed and held up as being sort of tremendous art. It just kind of has broad appeal.
Yeah, I think that's what sets the Critics' Choice Association apart, is that we are the professionals, so we do see all the movies. In the Oscars, for example, a lot of people who vote are voting for political reasons. They're voting for friends or films from a studio that they're involved with. Some people don't watch all their award screeners. We're the people that watch all the movies, or our television journalist side, they're the people who watch all the TV shows. So I think you're getting really, really informed choices in our awards, and that's one of the things that I personally am most proud to be associated with the organization for.
Well, good. Well, we're super glad that you're part of it. We're especially glad that you're part of our show, but the Critics' Choice Association is the old Broadcast Film Critics Association, now growing Critics' Choice Association, and Mike is a member of that in very, very good standing, I will tell you that. Well, he is a very important part of our morning show on Friday morning, and when he reviews a film, this one is, I know he's going to like it. I saw the trailer. This is your kind of stuff. 47 Meters Down, Uncaged.
No one would ever describe 47 Meters Down as great art. It only intended to be a fun shark attack B-movie, and on that count, it's one of the best ever made. The sequel, 47 Meters Down, Uncaged, has the exact same goal with the added ambition of upping the intensity of the shark action. Its success level can be summed up in two words: mission accomplished. Four teenage girls go cave diving in Mexico to explore the ruins of a sunken Mayan city. While they're down there, a massive shark causes the entryway to implode, leaving them trapped inside. The only way out is to swim through the city looking for another exit. And you know what that means, right? Yeah, it's going to get seriously sharky in there. The premise of 47 Meters Down, Uncaged lacks the simplicity of the originals, so it doesn't have that same make-you-nuts psychological factor. But that's okay, because there are more sharks in this movie, they attack more frequently, and the mayhem is virtually non-stop. Some scenes play on primal fears like claustrophobia, disorientation, and suffocation. But really, it's all about the sharks. I don't even care that character development is minimal or that there's not that much of a plot. 47 Meters Down, Uncaged is a ridiculous amount of fun for people who want a crazy, fast-paced, make-you-jump shark-a-palooza. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 great whites.
Oh, well, just 3. I thought because you like unpretentious films that, you know, excel at what they say they are, but just 3. Is that an okay question?
Sure. To me, I mean, like I said, this is not great art. It doesn't have great characterization. It doesn't have great plot. It's just a B movie. It's a movie that says, okay, sit down, and for 85 minutes, we're going to show you sharks attacking people. And that's, you know, not necessarily a lofty goal, but it's a goal aimed at entertainment, and on that level, it succeeds. So I think this is a good movie. It's not going to win any Oscars. It's never going to be added to the Criterion Collection, but it's just kind of a fun late summer movie for people who, like me, enjoy that rush and adrenaline of a well-executed B-movie.
I'm going to ask you to do a best of the year's B-movies at the end of the year, because I think that really shows the broad appeal. appeal. It also shows the fact that you would have this movie at the top, but a film like Fast and Furious that doesn't excel in some of those adjectives you just used for this film doesn't have those. You know, they kind of jump the shark, so to speak. And
Sort of, yeah.
Right, so it doesn't have some of those important elements. So you never appreciate those quite as much. What, two Vin Diesels last week? So,
right.
For the latest Fast and the Furious. Okay, so you have the B movie. Do you ever think, okay, well, just a little bit more plot, or maybe a star actor, actress that could really up this a game, that you get to sort of a mainstream horror type film?
Yeah, sure. Those things would have improved it. And for example, the classic shark movie is Jaws, which is a movie that does make you jump, and it's got great shark attacks, and it has phenomenal acting. So that's really the top tier of what we're talking about here. This movie lacks those things, but B-movies often do. B-movies generally tend to be about just giving you the core concept. We had the same thing 2 months ago with Crawl, the movie about the hurricane and the alligators in the basement. Same sort of thing. Not really trying to dazzle you with great characters or a memorable story or to be anything other than just 90 minutes of thrills.
Right, and you like that also,
yeah,
for the most part.
Yeah, I think that there's room for movies like this in there. I think it's sometimes fun to just have that, and I certainly would never want to be the kind of person that couldn't, or the kind of critic who couldn't just go into a movie and sit and have a good time.
Okay.
To me, that's really important, because I think that's why most people go to the movies. So when I approach something like 47 Meters Down Uncaged, I'm basically looking to jump and see some cool shark attacks and things like that. And this movie delivers on that count.
Well, you like all movies, it seems like. Or, I mean, you go in there, you like to see all movies. Mm-hmm. You don't like all movies.
Right, but I try to approach each one optimistically. I'm always hoping that I'll like whatever I'm going to see.
All right, so 47 Meters Down, Uncaged,
Three Great Whites.
Great Whites, all right, fabulous. I'm keeping track of your metaphors here, so I'm going to add this to the list. Yeah, the hurricane one was Three Alligators Shoes a couple weeks ago.
Right.
All right, new movies. What is, there's a couple things coming out. Well, this one comes out today, right?
This one opens today. I was able to get a screening of it last week. So 47 Meters Down, Uncaged opens today. We also have Angry Birds Movie 2, a sequel to the animated hit from a couple years ago. I don't know if people still play Angry Birds on their cell phone. To me, this movie seems a day late and a dollar short, but the first one was a pretty big hit, so we got another one of those. The movie that really looks intriguing to me this weekend is Good Boys. 3 6th grade boys ditch school and embark on an epic journey while carrying accidentally stolen drugs. So this is kind of like a raunchy R-rated movie featuring three young boys. It stars Jacob Tremblay, who was so good a few years ago in the movie Room opposite Brie Larson. So Good Boys opening today. For music fans, we've got Blinded by the Light. In 1987 Britain, a teenager learns to live life, understand his family, and find his own voice through the music of course, Bruce Springsteen. And finally, we've got Where'd You Go, Bernadette? A loving mom becomes compelled to reconnect with her creative passions after years of sacrificing herself for her family, and that stars the great Cate Blanchett.
Okay, which of those films will you see?
First on my list is going to be Good Boys.
Okay.
I'm always in the mood for what appears to be a very funny comedy.
Okay, so, and any of these going to be sort of big contenders in terms of just a superlative film or box office hit or surprise hit, although I guess that's hard to predict.
We're in mid-August, so I doubt any of these is really going to make a ton of money at the box office because the summer season is winding down. Blinded by the Light, though, premiered, I believe it was at Sundance this year, the festival that it premiered at, and got great buzz from critics. And this movie is just riding a wave of acclaim. So I think that that's going to be the one, if any of these are going to break out, it might be that one. And I don't necessarily think it's going to have a bang-up opening weekend, but if audiences respond to it as positively as the critics have, and if they start telling their friends about it, you might see that one turn into a sleeper.
Okay, so sleeper prediction on Blinded by the Light. We'll keep our eyes open for that. Entertainment news.
Mm-hmm.
What is cooking? I don't have my list in front of me, but you gave me some ideas.
Yeah, the big entertainment news this week is that Universal Pictures decided not to release a thriller called The Hunt that they had scheduled to come out next month after some controversy. The premise of this movie, it's a satire, and the premise of the movie is that there's a group of liberal elites who it's basically a remake of The Most Dangerous Game. They hunt down what they refer to as deplorables, and it's been described in the movie as internet conspiracy theorists and things like that. But what happened here was that for whatever reason, and I'm not being political when I say this, I keep my personal politics out of what I do, but this is just kind of a straight reading of what the facts appear to be. Fox News, for whatever reason, picked this up and decided to write a narrative that this movie was in Hollywood encouraging liberals to commit violence against conservatives, or saying that that's okay. The problem with that, and they ran, I think it was 8 or 10 stories on it, the problem with that is that no one has actually seen the movie yet, so we don't know what the political content is. Knowing the filmmakers and knowing Universal Pictures, my guess is that the point of the movie is that the division between liberals and conservatives in this country and the animosity that exists is harmful to everybody. But conservative media kind of wrote the story in advance that it was about how great it would be if liberals could kill conservatives. And so there was this big controversy about it. Donald Trump even made a vague reference to it in an interview, not an interview, but kind of like a presser that he had a week or so ago. And in the wake of all this, Universal has decided that it's probably a little too controversial to release, that the potential at this point is probably there, that there could be acts of violence in theaters showing it. Hopefully not, but, you know, we have seen that before. Mm-hmm. And so they have decided not to release this film.
Wow. Isn't that funny? What an interesting thing to bubble up under. I'm afraid I was unaware of it. So, okay, so we may never see this film?
My guess is that they will probably release it somewhere like a streaming service. You may see someone like Netflix pick it up where you can just watch it in your own home. But the firestorm around it has gotten bad enough. And again, I'm not blaming anybody here. I'm not being political. But this has become kind of a thing in the conservative media. And I think that Universal was probably worried that this might spark fights in theaters, or, you know, heaven forbid, shootings, or who knows what. So they have just decided to play it cautious.
All right. Well, to be continued. We'll keep an eye on that. Maybe it'll pop up. Maybe it'll pop up on a cable channel or something. Once Fox gets a hold of things, they're very able to spread the word. It always has a tremendous impact, what they talk about.
Yeah, and last year, and again, I'm not being political here, but last year, Universal did the exact same thing with the movie First Man, which is about Neil Armstrong. They generated this controversy. Oh, Hollywood did not show the moment when the flag was planted in the ground, or on the surface of the moon. There was a very valid artistic reason why that wasn't in there, but they got people all fired up about it, and a lot of people said they were going to boycott the movie because they didn't show it, and this is Hollywood being unpatriotic. So for whatever reason, they kind of go after Hollywood every once in a while and stir up these non-controversies.
All right. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan. His appearance is always sponsored by Campus Theater, campustheater.org.